church on their level and let them have a good time. And everybody say, bless our children and give our teachers patience. Hallelujah. All right. While we're standing, let's focus on the Word of God. Mark chapter 9, verses 17 through 22. Amen. Mark 9, 17 through 22. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he tears him. He foams and gnashes with his teeth. He pineth away. That's like he's timid and afraid of everything. And I spake to your disciples that they should cast him out, but they couldn't. Jesus answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. They brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit began to tear him, and he fell on the ground, and he wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? In other words, how long ago was it that this happened to your son? And he said, of a child. And oft time it hath cast him into the fire. Everybody shout fire. Oft times it cast him into fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Praise God. And so, what I would like to teach on for just a little while here this evening is a simple subject entitled, The Fire That Backfired. The Fire That Backfired. And so, let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask God to help us. Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to stand behind this desk. And we ask you, Lord, to bless in this season of worship and praise and obtaining from the Word of God. Open our eyes to see, our hearts to receive, our minds to perceive what the Word of the Lord would say to us this evening on a personal, one-to-one basis. I ask you in the name of the Lord. Everybody shout in Jesus' name. God richly blesses you're seated just now. Amen. The fire that backfired. From the very beginning, the enemy has tried to use the tool of fire to devour humanity. It's true. Hell burns hot for the soul that is lost this evening. But the Holy Ghost burns hot for that soul that wants to be saved. You know, it's ironic that hell has been formed and put together for the souls that will be lost. And at the same time, the Holy Ghost is like a fire that can set upon each of them as they begin to speak in tongues. And so, fire for fire. A lot of times when you can't fight fire with anything else, the only thing you can fight it with is, somebody help me, fire. You start another fire. I'll never forget the story, and it's been the fodder of a lot of sermons that I've preached across the nation in different places, and that is how a college professor took all of his students out in the middle of a wheat field to study agriculture and that particular day wheat. And as they were in the middle of this massive wheat field, suddenly they noticed it was on fire. And it was coming their way as swift as it could. There was nothing they could do. They couldn't run fast enough. You know, when fire gets hungry like that and it's burning something dry, that it can move just as fast as it moves if you throw gasoline on it. And so here it comes. Those students begin to panic. And the college professor said, just stand right where you are. Has anyone got a lighter? One gentleman said, I do. And he took that lighter and he bent down and he started a fire right there where he was. And all of a sudden, that fire began to sweep toward the fire that was coming. And as a result, the fire never reached them because they were able to fight fire with fire. What I want to tell you here tonight in this Bible study is this. Fire can't burn where fire has already been. And I feel the fire in Landmark right now. I feel the anointing at Landmark right now. And I'm glad that you're here, even on a midweek night, so that you will not let that fire pass you by. Because God is consuming this world with His fire, so that with His fire, we can fight the fiery darts of hell and come against the enemy with the power of the Holy Ghost and fire, so that He will not prevail against us. Everybody shouted in Jesus' name. Amen. So the enemy used the fire of tribulation to try and wipe out a whole nation. And then all of a sudden, while the enemy is raining hell and fire down on the nation of Israel, when they're in bondage and slavery to the Egyptians, Moses is on the backside of the desert listening to the voice of God from a bush that is on, amen. And so the fire in the wheat field, it got backfired. Amen. And the fire that the enemy tried to rain down on the Israelites in Egypt through a little flame in a small bush on the backside of the desert got backfired. It didn't work. Why is that? Because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. And so there are two fires that are yearning to consume your soul this evening. Hell awaits those that can't get enough worldly pleasure. But it was not meant. Hell was not meant for you. I want you to understand that. You were not born. You were not. God did not allow you to be given life just so that you had to go to hell. He doesn't form people for hell. That's why you will not be happy there. You were created for the kingdom of Almighty God. That's why He said, I go away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you shall be also. Amen. And so, hell awaits those that can't get enough of the world. The Bible says, for our God, is, look at Hebrews 12:29. Look at Hebrews 12:29. For our God is what? Read it out loud with me. A consuming fire. Isn't that awesome? Look at Luke 24:32. And they said one to another, listen to this. Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the Scriptures? The disciples said that to one another. Amen. And so it is. All through the Scripture, the Lord has caused fires that the enemy meant for destruction to become fires of revival and salvation. We've got to get in the right fire. We need to get on the right side of Pentecost. I don't want to be on that side that's pointing in and making false accusations and quoting false doctrine towards us and mad at us because we're free with our worship and free with our prayer and free with all of that. I want to be on the inside looking out, saying, I wish everybody out there was in here enjoying what we're doing. So what we've got to do is we've got to wind up on the right side of Pentecost. Amen. I don't want to be peering through the window at the apostolics when the rapture takes place. I'd rather be on the inside looking out the window. All through the scripture, fire. When revival broke out in Jerusalem, 3,000. The next day, 5,000. The next day, they couldn't count them. They called it multitudes. Priests and the devils stepped in and tried to stamp it out. Understand now, religion tried to stamp this out. You got to understand, it was religion that crucified Jesus Christ. It wasn't thieves and robbers and such. It was the religion of the day. And that's why it's important to know the Word of God, so that when they become accusative of everything that we do and telling us that we're wrong and that we're a cult and that we're this and that, we need to be able to go to the Word of God and say, no, we believe it just like the disciples did. What's your problem? You've seen what coals do when you try to stamp them out. You can't stamp coals out. Because if you do, you're going to cause the fire to spread. Because you're going to knock a coal out from where you hit it. It's going to land another place. And when it lands in that place, a fire is going to start. That's what the devil's tried to do for the last 2,000 years or so. But he's not been successful, because everywhere he stomps, it starts a fire everywhere else. And we're one of those fires that the devil just simply cannot put. Everybody shout in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Mark chapter 9, the poor father said, oft times it throws him into the fire. And it throws him into the water. I should have titled it, The Fire and the Water That Backfired. Because if you notice, the devil tried to throw him in the fire to kill him. Tried to throw him in the water to drown him. No wonder the Lord said, well, I'll just use the water to wash away his sins, and I'll use the fire to fill him with the power and the anointing and the Spirit. And so it is, we repent of our sins. We're baptized in Jesus' name for the remission and the washing away of those sins, and we receive the fire of the Holy Ghost. So there's the fire that backfired. Amen. And so again, the enemy has been rebuked and knocked back down. I see the devil trying to use fire and even water to destroy this young boy. But look what the Lord does. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, while we're talking about fire. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all, everybody say every one of them, with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know, and I know, again, it's Bible study night, but why don't we just lift our hands and thank the Lord for the fire? Amen. Without the fire, the church is dead. Without the church, the fire, the pulpit's dead. The preaching is dead. The songs are dead. But when you have the fire, the church is on fire. The preaching's on fire. The worship is on fire. Healing, signs, and wonders. Great people living for God and serving the Lord. I just want to thank God for the fire tonight. Amen. Amen. And so it is. Let's look again now at Acts chapter 2, verse number 38. Very familiar portion of scripture. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. Who? Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? The remission of sins. And you shall receive what? The gift of the Holy Ghost, or another word for that, Somebody shout, the fire. Amen. Praise God. And so it is. Don't stop at repentance. You know, I wish, and I have a desire, and I have a great hope. If you have a pen, would you write that scripture down? Amen. And everyone that you come across, everyone that you speak to that may go to another church or whatever, would you ask them to please have their pastor to preach the scripture? I would venture to say that probably 2/3 of the churches in our nation have forsaken the scripture. My question is, why? If one scripture that Peter said is true, then why isn't everything that he said true? If Jesus gave him one thing that was right, why isn't what he gave him here right? Amen? So I'm starting a crusade tonight. How many is on board? We got to get this done. This scripture is the scripture in the book of Acts that the devil wants to put out and snuff away. But this scripture is alive and well at Landmark, and we're not ashamed to preach it. We're not ashamed to preach it. Praise God. And so we will continue. John said, there's coming one that is mightier than I am. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Why? Because we need the fire to fight the fire that comes against us in everyday life and everyday living. And the fire that we are baptized with is greater than the fire that we were born into. The Bible says we were born in sin, shaped by iniquity, and that's why we must be born again. And when we are born again, that fire is greater than the fire of hell that we were born into. Amen. And so there's a spirit war being waged right now that we can't see with the physical eye, but you feel it in your spirit. The reason that we're feeling it so intense is because the devil's time is short. Now, he has had to save his best for last because he can't go back for more ammunition. But I can. And you can. And thank God for the church where we can do this. Praise God. And so his time is short. But I'll tell you this. The Lord's time to reach you in this world is short as well. So which fire are we going to yield to tonight? James 3 and 3 through 6 says, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, everybody say the mouth, that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body just because of a little metal device that goes in their mouth. And we were able to stop them. We're able to release them and make them run. Brother Gass could help us right now a whole lot more than I can because he's a cowboy. And so, but that's what we do. We control the horse with the small piece of metal that is in his mouth. And so the Bible says, behold also ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Just a very small device can turn that ship completely around. Even so, this is what James is getting at. He's comparing all that to the tongue. He said, even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. What James just wrapped up in his little sermonette here is he is saying that The tongue needs to be governed by the Holy Ghost. You can't cuss while you're speaking in tongues. You can't be mad at your brother while you're speaking in tongues. Hello? Right? Amen. You can't fume, fuss, and fight and all of that while you're speaking in tongues. Don't be like that one couple on the way to church. They fought like cats and dogs, man. I mean, buttons were missing by the time he got in church and all that. And so they sat down. First song kicked off. He jumped up, raised his hands, weeping, speaking in tongues. He sat back down. His wife nudged him with her elbow, about broke a rib, and said, "You big hypocrite." He turned to her and said, "Hey, I'm not a hypocrite. I was mad at you. I'm not mad at God." Well, it's hard to be mad at anybody when you're rejoicing in the Holy Ghost like we rejoice in the Holy Ghost here at Landmark. And so James is saying, set your tongue on fire with the Holy Ghost, and it will overcome the fires of hell that come against you. Amen? Praise God. And so maybe instead of raging madness upon it, why don't we just sling some Holy Ghost on it and see what God can do with it? Does that make sense? So James said the tongue is set on fire of hell. Look at Acts 2 and 3. Once again, there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as, it was just like a fire, and it set upon each of them. Somebody shout, fire, fire, fire. I don't want you to forget this. The tongue is the most unruly member of the body. If the Lord can fill you with His Spirit, He can control your whole life, and He can control your destiny for your eternity. Amen. So before we yield our hands and our feet, our minds, why don't we just yield our tongue to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Praise God. And then if we can yield that most unruly member of our body to the Lord, then we will have no problem subjecting the rest of our body to the Lord. Paul, after being shipwrecked, the Bible says he built a fire. And lo and behold, out of that fire, or he's gathering sticks, and gathering sticks to put in the fire. And when he's gathering sticks, a serpent comes out, bites him, and hangs on his hand. All he's doing is trying to build a fire. So many times, all we're doing is outreach. Sister Sandy, all we're doing is trying to do a little follow-up, trying to teach a Bible study to somebody, and then all of a sudden, the devil comes out and takes a bite out of you. But that's okay, because while you've been doing outreach, you've been building a fire. While you've been teaching a home Bible study, you've been building a fire. While you've been worshiping God on Sunday night, you've been building a fire. Why don't you take that serpent right over to the fire and shake him off? Because that's the fire that will cause his fire to backfire. We've got to have backup. We got to have a fire. We got to prepare the fire before the other fire ever gets there so that we can win this battle against the enemy. Amen? And so it is. So where there is no sacrifice, there is no fire. Amen. That fire backfired when Paul was able to shake that serpent off into the fire. The enemy thinks he's got somebody tonight, but you can make all of that backfire in your relationship with God. Amen. Let's stand. Let me give you another scripture. 1 Kings 18 and 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto the man of God. And he repaired the altar of the Lord. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, he fixed the altar. Because the heathens, the world, false religion, had broken it down. He repaired it. And after he repaired it, he called upon the name of the Lord. Why did the people say in verse 39, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is the God. Because when they prayed, he answered by fire. Ladies and gentlemen, at Landmark, he still does. And he always will. Thank God for bounce houses. Thank God for chicken dinners. Thank the Lord for Beast Feast. Thank the Lord for prizes and awards. But that will never grow a church. It may excite a crowd, but it's the fire that grows a church. And I thank God for the fire tonight. So let's take a moment and let's just praise God for just a few moments for the fire. Hallelujah. Because it causes all hell to backfire.
With the fire of your spirit.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Consume me, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for the desire.
Make me more like you.
Thank you, Lord, for the commitment to be in the house of God.
Break me, Lord.
Thank you for the chance to
Bless
be in the house
the
of God, for the opportunity to be here to just worship you. Because as we worship you, we absorb the flame of apostolic revival and refreshing and renewing every time. Hallelujah. Control our minds. Let us not be led astray by every wind of doctrine that blows, but stabilize us, Lord, in the Word of God and in this true doctrine. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I hear somebody speaking in tongues. That's a wonderful thing. Somebody's being touched by the fire.
I want to be
Somebody's being touched by the fire.
Lord, by you.
Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God.
Consume me, Lord.
Trust in God.
With the fire of
Rebuild the altar.
Consume
Call on
me,
the name
Lord.
Of Jesus. And watch the
Make
fire
me
fall
more like you.
Every time. Hallelujah.
Break me, Lord.
Wow.
Then bless the Woo. Broken pieces.
It's one of those times.
Of my life.
It's just one of those times.
I want to be you.
More than a Bible study tonight,
Lord,
huh?
By you.
The presence of the Lord everywhere. Spirit of God is everywhere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 In the near future, we've developed a new concept and opportunity and privilege for our viewers. And this is specifically for them in that the tires have found a way that our viewers can help us with our building program financially. And so in the near future on our website, you'll be able to go on that particular app where you can give to Landmark, whether it be a dime or a dollar or whatever you can give to assist us with our building program so that we can expedite the time and reach this city and everyone else that wants to hear and see from the whole wide world that wants to be a part of Landmark. Isn't that awesome? I told you we were going to affect the world, and ladies and gentlemen, here we go. Here we go. Amen. Amen. We've been on the World Wide Web for only just a few short months, and we've already had over 7,000 viewers. Amen. Watching our services. And so that's an astronomical thing. And I appreciate the fact that they're watching, they're listening, and I hope that we're changing lives and touching hearts in a great way. Amen. God bless you tonight as you're dismissed. Shake hands, be friendly, greet one another.